Today's scripture reading is taken from Genesis 2, verses 4 to 9 and 15 to 25, and Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 24. Genesis 2, verse 4. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, when no bush of the field was yet in the land, and no small plant of the field had yet sprung up. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the land, and there was no man to work the ground. And a mist was going up from the land, and was watering the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden, in the east. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Verse 15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Then the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. Now out of the ground the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the livestock, and to the birds of the heavens, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. While he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, this at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 25. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I bring you greetings from Trinity Theological College, and thank you for your long, enduring, and faithful support for the important ministry that the college undertakes. We just celebrated the 76th anniversary just last Friday and gave thanks again to God Almighty who have through the years kept the church, the four governing churches together, led them through thick and thin and continue its ministry. This is an immense privilege that the Lord has bestowed upon the college. And on behalf of the college, I bring you greetings and thanks. I also wish to thank you for your continuing friendship, love, and strong support for me as one of the five entities that sponsors me financially so that I could serve at Trinity Theological College. Let us pause for prayer. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time and space that you have given to us to worship you. We are reminded that we do not come in our own names, but only in the name that you have given to us, the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so in his name we come to you, Father, seeking your grace and favor. We ask that you will speak, Lord, this morning to our minds and our hearts, that we may be quickened to hear you, love you, and serve you. This we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It is described as the watchword of the modern age. It is affirmed as a key priority of our national agenda. What is that word? The word is mental health. Headline in the article in yesterday's Straits Times, the sobering truth that is communicated is that there is no health without mental health. Given the enormity and urgency of the matter, we certainly can affirm PSPC's initiative in launching the MESH ministry in conjunction with World Mental Health Day, October the 10th. This is a bold endeavor, but one that is timely and strategic in response to the urgent need to give more and better attention to the nurturing of good mental health and well-being. I'm privileged and very humbled to reflect on this matter with you in the light of God's word this morning. But I speak not as a therapist, psychologist, or psychiatrist, for I do not belong to any of these esteemed and important vocations. But I come to you as a pastor, speaking as one who attempts to attend daily to my mental well-being, and also as one who has the privilege of working with people struggling with mental health and mental well-being issues. So I invite you to ponder with me what Scripture has to say about mental health and mental well-being, and why I have entitled the sermon, Loving God, Neighbor, and Self with Mind, Heart, and Strength. You might be wondering why read from the Genesis account, and then why read from Ephesians. I hope to make it clear in a moment. So I invite you to explore with me the questions, what is mental health? What is MESH? Before going to gather an understanding of our human experience in relation to mental, emotional, and physical dimensions of our being. And I will do so in the light of Scripture, and especially as of us as children of God, the redeemed in Christ and the sustained in the Spirit. We gather an understanding so that we can engender good mental health and well-being as children of God. So we ask, what is mental health? Well, first thing we should note is that mental health is not to be equated with mental illness. Instead, mental health refers to a continuum where on the one hand, we may suffer poor mental health, such as a mental condition or illness. But on the other end, we experience good mental health, have better mental well-being. So for a start, we should clarify when we consider the subject of mental health not to equate it with mental illness or conditions, but of the health of one's mental domain overall. Perhaps the next slide will help us to consider it better. Let's consider what is mental health. And as I just said, mental health should be considered on a continuum where on the one end, there is a presence of a mental condition, but on the other end, there isn't. So on this continuum, on the x-axis, we consider whether there is presence or absence of a mental condition. Perhaps some, due to various reasons that we'll visit in a moment, has a mental condition. That person has a mental illness and condition and needs clinical mental care. But on the other hand, many do not have a mental condition. Factors that can contribute to a mental condition include the physiological and the psychosocial. Physiological could be genes, genetics, disposition that cause a person to be more predisposed to develop a mental condition. On the other hand, there is the psychosocial, and there are many things that can contribute to result in a mental condition. For example, childhood trauma. For example, trauma from wars or displacement due to floods or due to wars and due to other catalytic reasons that cause people to suffer great emotional trauma. All this can lead to a mental condition. Apart from the x-axis, we should consider the y-axis, that is the degree of mental well-being. On an average day, we can experience poor mental well-being or good mental well-being. So in considering what the subject of mental health is, we want to keep in mind not just the x-axis on whether we have a mental condition, but also the y-axis, whether we are experiencing good mental well-being. Now let's take it further, quadrant by quadrant, in this diagram. Firstly, perhaps we are one who do not have a mental condition and are experiencing good mental well-being. We are happy, we have a harmonious family, we have a good job, we wake up giving thanks, and we are thriving, and we are glad. And the factors that contribute to good mental well-being is good mental health habits. For example, we are quick to forgive. We have a habit of giving thanks. We learn to be content. And also, we have adequate rest. We learn to laugh over mistakes. And we learn to play. We live a very balanced life. We're experiencing good mental well-being. We are thriving and we are glad. But on the other hand, even though we may not have a mental condition, there are times when we may be sad and because it's a bad day. And it could be because we have unaddressed negative emotions. We have unhealthy comparisons. And you know how it is today? The prevalent use of social media has led to a great degree of comparisons between people. And many has reported or referred back that they feel less positive about themselves after scrolling through Facebook or WhatsApp, comparing this person and that person. Hey, why they can go there? Why I cannot go? Why they are so fortunate? Why I'm so unfortunate? Why they have so much and I have so little? Unhealthy comparisons can lead to low mental well-being. Likewise, those perhaps due to various reasons have low self-esteem, experience a great degree of anxiety, and you have heard the newspaper reports recently that many of our youths suffer great anxiety due to a variety of reasons. And so there are factors that can lead to poor mental well-being. Fortunately for some, it's just a bad day, and perhaps they rebound the next day. Perhaps they rebound the next week or the next season. And that is the two quadrants. But we shall move on to the third quadrant, where some who experience a mental condition, and they too can swing between good mental well-being and poor mental well-being. Those who experience, who have a condition and experience a poor degree of mental well-being might find themselves in crisis and its gloom, you know. And some of the factors here can be triggers that destabilize their mental condition. It could be that they are angered and reminded of past traumas and hurts, and as a result, destabilize them, and they spiral downwards as a result and get into a situation of gloom. I think of my brother as I think about this third quadrant. For my brother has a mental health condition. At the age of 17, he was diagnosed with schizophrenia, and he has not recovered from schizophrenia since. He is now 65. But last year, 2023, was particularly challenging for our family, for we found our brother given over to institutionalized care for an entire year. How did it happen? Well, he was stable for a long time, and our family would take turns to take him to church, bring him out. My sister Ross, who is a member here, my brother Samuel, and myself, along with our other siblings. And all seems well and fine until COVID struck. When COVID struck in 2020, we were locked down and we were separated in, there was social isolation. And so can you imagine from the year 2020, 21 to 22, my brother Melvin was virtually isolated on the fourth floor of his nursing care home. We cannot see him, he cannot come out, we cannot go in, we can only pass things over on a later date through the nurses and up to him. And I suspect that that kind of isolation destabilized him. And because he was destabilized, he expressed anger and outbursts. And there he went in early last year into IMH. And he spent the entire year in IMH. In our efforts to reach out to him, we experienced, or I experienced, fluctuating mental well-being. Some days I'm glad, some days I'm really sad. Because we were trying very hard to work with the authorities to get him into a home, and it was so difficult. And I remember those days when I would drive to IMH up the slope, and while walking into the ward, I can feel palpitations in my heart. There's that anxiety who says that I am walking into a mental hospital and a ward to see a patient. You know, there came a point even that year when there wasn't enough space in some of the wards that they transferred him to what was called the forensic ward. The forensic ward is meant for those with criminal records. So it's a tighter security and all that. And there I visited my brother in the forensic ward. And with each visit, a guard watching over us. That was the experience of 2023. But thanks be to God, he is now placed in a home again and is gradually recovering, is gradually getting better. So can you imagine those who have a mental condition, who suffer setbacks and triggers and instability, they can really get into a crisis situation and experience a lot of gloom. But yet again, thanks be to God, even with those who have mental conditions, they can thrive and be glad because they have accepted their conditions and they are receiving good mental health care and manage the condition well. And a very encouraging story is a dear brother from Bethel named Alan. He suffered from bipolar disorder. And for many years, he was in hospital. He was in a mental institution. But then, by God's grace, he gradually recovered. In fact, he recovered so well, not only to the extent that he can go to work, he now works in a nursing care home as a nurse assistant. And his work among those who have special mental health needs is so effective and so good that he won the presidential award for that. So Alan is a good case that even those with a mental health condition can experience a good degree of mental well-being if the condition is well managed. And that is mental health for you. I wonder, as you look at this diagram, this chart, where might you place yourself today? Which quadrant might you place yourself in? What are you experiencing today? Where would you like to be? As we go on, I pray that the Word of God and the truths that come from His Word will guide us into a good place. Let's continue. And this is mental health. We launch now also today the MESH ministry. What is MESH ministry? MESH ministry is mental, emotional, spiritual health. Some people use this diagram to depict the MESH ministry, or they use this other diagram to depict the MESH ministry. Can you discern what is an inadequate depiction of the MESH ministry using these diagrams? Can you critique the depictions and see what is inadequate about it? What is inadequate about it is that it depicts the spiritual only as one domain in a person's life. The spiritual as only one part of our being. But from our Christian perspective, that is not so. And I wish to propose a different depiction of the MESH ministry. And from there, we gather an understanding from scripture and theology how to relate to ourselves as people with minds, hearts, and bodies. So let's consider a Christian perspective of MESH ministry. And I wish to propose this depiction. And there you see the mental, emotional, and physical spheres of our beings, but right at the center, impacting all spheres, overlapping that, is the spirit. Can you see the spirit behind? I couldn't bring it to the front because I don't know how to bring it to the... There it is. Yeah? You see, this is a Christian perspective because we are embodied spiritual beings. When God breathed His breath of life into us, we became a living being. And our spirits are alive, able to commune with God. At the center of our being is the spirit in communion with God. But God has embodied us with heads, hearts and hands, minds, emotions and actions. And that would be a more appropriate, a correct understanding, for the spiritual is the integral and integrating locus of health. The spiritual is the integral and integrating locus of health. And so this morning, I want to continue to explore with you this perspective. It's a perspective of mental, emotional, and physical aspects of our existence as children of God, of our life in God. And so it is not just exploring isolated domains, but all this in an integrating fashion of our life in God as children of God. It is a perspective not just psycho-emotional, but biblical and theological. So I invite you on this journey with me as over the next 10 minutes I explore with you this from this perspective. And it is an understanding, as I term it, an understanding through salvation history. Never mind the big words about salvation history. In a while, you will know what it is about. But let's begin with creation, and that's why we read Genesis. You see, in creation, we're told that God formed us in His image. Let us make man in our image. In the image of God, He made them male and female. We are made in the image of God and became a living being when God breathed that life into us. In other words, through God's creative act, we come into existence with the ability to be in communion with God. We have that ability to recognize God and God relating to us. You see the domains put into place in that creative act of God. There is the cognitive, affective, volitional, and physical. Adam was now able to understand because God gave him instructions on what to do and not to do. He was able to feel when Eve was brought to him, now this is flesh of my flesh and bone of my bones. He was able to name the animals, to obey or disobey. The volitional aspect of his existence was put in place. And finally, he was embodied. He was able to work and able to procreate. All was good, as Scripture says, in creation, in the image of God, becoming living beings, all was good until the fall. The fall resulted not in Adam or Eve's physical death, but spiritual death. And that affected their relationship and communion with God. And the image of God in them became severely marred. And why so? Because they disobeyed. And those disobeying tendencies were fueled by distrust. Perhaps God was robbing me of something good called the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of life. And Eve ate it and gave it to the husband. They did not trust God. That became a root problem in their existence. But notice how that fall affected all component parts of their being, all spheres of their existence. Mental, they became to blame each other. They knew they did wrong, but they began to blame each other. Emotionally, they experienced fear instead of love. They ran away from God and hid from Him. Volitionally, they decided to do wrong things. Not to take and eat, but they took and eat. Just like a two-year-old sometimes in our homes. Do not touch that, but it says they touched that. They didn't hear the do not. They only hear the touch. And that is part of our problems. We have selective hearing that leads to selective obedience. And physically, interestingly, when Adam first saw Eve, he was so delighted. But now they hid in shame. That was the result of the fall. And that had a severe impact on our minds, our hearts, and our bodies. The outcome of the fall, as Paul describes in Ephesians 4, is this. Now I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. Now, the slide is truncated. You don't see the whole slide, but I'll read it to you. I do not know why it's truncated. Maybe due to the fall. But let me read it for you, and you could refer to Ephesians 4, 17 to 19, and now understand why I chose to read that text. I read it for you from the beginning once again. Now I say this, and I say and testify in the Lord that you must not walk. No longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. They have become callous and have given themselves over to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. You notice the connections between the mind, the heart, and the body. They are darkened in their understanding due to the hardness of their heart. The hardness of their hearts lead to the futility of their minds. When mind and heart are both led astray, the body gives itself to every kind of sensuality, greed, and impurity. And that's the downward spiral that Paul described to the church at Ephesus. And he says, this is what you previously was, but you must not continue it. But those who were previously in this, that's how they live. The spiritual death led to a downward spiral in mental, poor mental well-being, poor emotional well-being, and poor physical well-being. For us, we must grasp this morning and understand how our minds will affect our hearts and how our minds and hearts will in turn affect our bodies. Let me test this with you. Just do a brief test. I want to invite you to think of a very, very happy moment in your life. Think about it now. Think of a happy moment. Think of the happiest moment in your life. Maybe when you married your wife, something like that. Think of a happiest moment. And I see smiles in the face. Yeah? You thought of a happy thing, you felt good about it, and you smiled. Now think of a worst moment in your life. Maybe the Chinese teacher passed out things here. That was the worst moment in my life. I was outstanding in Chinese lessons, you know, right? Yeah, because 老师 says, 陈文才, 你要讲话外面站. So I was outstanding. Think of the worst moment in your life. I see more sober faces, apart from the joke I just shared. You see how our minds and our hearts and our bodies are connected. When we are unhappy, our face shows it. Because our minds think of the unhappy event, our hearts feel it, and our face show it. And so this, Paul says, don't do that. Don't continue in that way. But thanks be to God then, the story does not just end with the fall. The story continues with to redemption in Christ. And this is where Christ fulfilled the perfect image of God. Colossians tell us he's the perfect representation of God. And because of his perfect sacrifice, we can have spiritual rebirth and see the impact of the new life in Christ. The mind can be renewed. The heart tells me there's no condemnation now. I'm assured. The body now is able to say no to sin and yes to God. And the bodies become temples of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God that in Christ Jesus, we can have new minds, transformed hearts, and sanctified bodies. We can have renewal through the word of Christ, assurance from the love of God, and obedience through the help of the Holy Spirit. That is what the redemption brought us. And so, now is the possibility, there is now the possibility to experience fullness of mental, emotional, and physical health of our life in God. So as an outcome, we can grow into become more like Jesus. We can grow to become more and take on more and more the image of Christ, Ephesians, Colossians tell us. And as we do so, now traveling in the right direction, opposite from the fall, but now towards God. The fall marked the image of God, but the redemption in Christ gives us the possibility to have the image of Christ restored to our entire beings, so that we learn to have the mind of Christ. We learn to birth the virtues of the Spirit, hearts that feel rightly. And we learn to give ourselves wholly to God as living sacrifices. There is now the possibility to experience good mental well-being in Christ. And that's why Jesus was able to answer in response to the person who queried him about the commandments of God. And he says the two most important commands is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And then to love your neighbor as yourself. You see, without the redemption, it is not possible to obey these twin commandments. But with the redemption that is coming in, that came in Christ, it is now possible to love the Lord our God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. It is possible to love our neighbors as ourselves. And as we do so, we will increasingly experience good mental health, mental, emotional, physical. We will learn to forgive those who sin against us because we have forgiven them. You know, the Lord's Prayer that we just prayed, sometimes we mispray that prayer. It says, "Forgive me my sins as we forgive those who sin against us." It should be because we forgive those who sin against us. We learn to forgive first. Forgive those who sin against us. So God, please forgive me. Now, there is now the possibility not only to have a right relationship with God, but also the right relationship with others. And we've been reminded over and over again, we are not isolated beings, but connected beings. We are people in relation. We can't live in isolation in order to experience good mental well-being. And these commandments calls us to that. It calls us to learn to love God with all our heart. It calls us to love God with all our soul, with all our mind and our strengths. And not just that, to love our neighbor as ourselves. Now I wish to close by pointing us to resources on how we can nurture our emotional, mental, and physical well-being. And I will just use a few minutes on this, hopefully not too long, because the time has gone on very fast. I didn't realize the clock too has fallen. It moves faster than it ought to. So referring to your sermon outline, you will see that I'm at that point where after touching on a theological, biblical, theological basis for good mental health, I go on now to highlight the three areas as resources. Firstly, the spirit and mind. Oh, now the slides is also again different. Should be left. Okay, never mind. We do what we can. The spirit and mind. And here, we are reminded of the enduring word of God. That is, the word of God can illumine our mind. The psalmist says, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. I'm a stranger on earth. Do not hide your commands from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your laws at all times. Your statutes are my delights. They are my counselors." The reason why the psalmist can rise above the hurts, the difficulties, the travails, the turmoil is because he chooses to focus on meditating on God's word. He meditates on God's word day and night, and that sustains him. If we want good mental health, I recommend that we meditate on the word, so that the word is always rolling back and forth in our minds. And this is different from Eastern meditation, where we are called to empty our minds. As children of God, as people who have been given the word, we do not empty our minds, but instead we fill our minds with the word. We dwell on it deeply. We ponder over it day and night. Even in our workplaces, our leisure places, we ponder over it. To the extent that we do not just meditate on the word, but we are mastered by the word. The word gets its way with us. The word works from our minds to our hearts so that it stays with us. It tutors us so that we have a mind that is nurtured by the Word of God. And when our mind is nurtured by the Word of God, it's light and freedom. Because thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We have minds that are illumined by the word. And as we do so, we become more and more conformed to the living word, who is the eternal word. And who is that? Jesus, our Christ and our Lord. And that's how we become more and more able to live a life that is instructed by the living Christ and the enduring Word. Secondly, on mind, spirit, and emotion, we want to focus on the unfailing love of God. I love that song that our song leader, Jeremy, your name, is it? Oh, no. Is Jeremy, correct your name? Let us, I have a maker, he knows my name. Yeah. And that is just such a beautiful song. You know, we need to be known. We are people who don't just seek to know others. We need to be known. We want to know and be known. And a great resource for good mental and emotional well-being is that we know our God knows us. You know me, Lord. And that's a great resource. That is a knowledge that assures us. The unfailing love of God assures our heart. When you find yourself in a challenging moment, you say, God, you have led me through before. You can lead me through again. We can go through this together. You are with me, Lord. And that kind of assurance just brings so much calm into our hearts. The thing to note here is that when we begin to think right through the Word of God, we begin to feel right. When our minds are set in the right direction and focus, our hearts will follow along. And that is true. So here, when the Word of God tells us we are forgiven, we feel forgiven. Our hearts are released. Our conscience are cleared. Everyone needs to be forgiven. Or is it just me? Every one of us. We sin against God. We sin against each other. We make mistakes. We intentionally make mistakes. We need to be forgiven, and our conscience needs to be cleared. And God's unfailing love can give us that. And then we are reconciled. We're brought together again. We say sorry. We give a hug, and we say sorry. And we are reconciled. And then we feel belong once more. And that's what it does to us, to our hearts. And finally, spirit and bodies. We're reminded that we are not just matter, but we are embodied persons created in the image of God, now being restored to the image of Christ. And so the unceasing prayers from the Holy Spirit does this. He prays for us with groans too deep for words. The unceasing prayers of God, Christ interceding at the right hand of the Father, the Holy Spirit prays with groans too deep for words, tells us that we can say yes to God. You know, even as I share here, I'm walking with someone who struggles with a sexual addiction. But he doesn't want it anymore. He says, I do not want to live that way anymore. And he says, can you pray for me and can you work with me to set me free? And we touch on what the mind ought to think about, what the heart needs to be, where the heart needs to be aligned, and then surrender his whole body. And it has been about 5 days now that he says, I'm clean. I'm clean. Yeah. And every day he would text me, 5 days now, that he's clean. He wants to think right and feel right and act right. And the Holy Spirit will help us to sanctify our bodies for God's holy use. And that's how it relates, mental, emotional, physical. all three spheres completely under the love and mercies of God. We think right, feel right, and act right. Let me conclude with these words. Because of God's great love, we can now have the mind of Christ. Bear the fruit of the Spirit, which are virtues. A lot of it so descriptive emotionally. And do the will of the Father. There is now the possibility to obey the twin commandments and experience good mental health. And so I conclude with this final slide. We can now nurture good mental health by loving God, neighbor, and self with mind, heart, and strength. It is now possible. You and I can experience good mental health by giving ourselves wholly to God, asking Him to instruct our minds, guide our hearts, and sanctify our bodies. Let us pray. Dear God, men's words are limited, but your words will never return to you void. So take, Lord, set us apart for your use. In the name of Jesus, amen. I have one more slide that I forgot. Can we pray this slide together? And it's the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi. October 10th is World Mental Health Day, but the feast day of St. Francis of Assisi was just October 4th, just a few days ago. Let's pray this together and ask God to develop in us good mental health. Together, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life.